We used to know a guy that when we would sing that song,
he would say that he saved a wrench like me, amen, instead of a wretch. And I always got a big kick out of that, amen. The things that you remember over the years. Psalm 23 is where we're going to be tonight. Psalm 23. So we're going to read verses 1 through 6 again. By the time we're finished with this this lesson, guys, you're going to be able to quote, if you can't already, Psalm 23, verses 1 through 6. And so let me get out of the book of Proverbs and get in the book of Psalms, and maybe we'll get the right text tonight. So if you can tonight, if you're willing and able to this evening, once you get to Psalm 23, I ask you to stand as we honor the reading of the Word of God. And we're looking at Psalm 23. We're going to read again verses 1 through 6, have a quick word of prayer, and we'll get into the message tonight. This is part 3, as you know. But the Bible says here, it says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord, for all that you've done. Again, we thank you for the evening you've given us. Thank you for the time together. And we pray now that you watch over us, guide us, take your words this evening, apply it into our heart, apply it into our mind. Lord, help us become a better servant of thee tonight. Lord, through the teaching and preaching of the Word of God, we pray that we'd apply it into our heart, we'd apply it into our life. Lord, we pray that it be our sole authority for faith and practice in everything that we do. Lord, in Jesus' name we ask these things. Amen and amen. So far, guys, we have seen who the Lord, and that's the capital L, small cap, O-R-D. We've seen who the Lord is, and that he is my, meaning personal, shepherd. And so we're going to look at the ending results of the two. So over the last 2 weeks, we've covered the first five words of verse 1 in Psalm 23. And so when you begin to apply this and we understand these things, what you get when one takes the eternal, self-existent, covenant God of Israel, creator of all things and the savior of the world, as a personal, providing, protective, purpose, prophesied shepherd, what do you get? Well, you get, "I shall not want." That's what you end up getting. That's what it's part 3 of Psalm 23 series tonight is, simply to focus on why and how David was able to say, "I shall not want." And we need to understand that here this evening. So we find David, guys, moving from utter agony in Psalm 22 into the reverberating zeal, if you will, of total and complete contentment in his life. And guys, isn't that what everybody wants in their life? Don't you want this evening utter and complete contentment, satisfaction in your life? If we're honest with one another, we look at things in our life and we look at anything in the world that can just bring us some type of peace or pleasure or comfort or contentment, you know, that's what it is. People are looking for that. The entertainment industry, guys, earns billions annually because people are searching for contentment in their life. They're searching for peace. Sports cars, bookstores, even nightlife, guys, they survive today because people as a whole, they want satisfaction, they want contentment, they want peace, they want pleasure, and we understand that. Contentment, guys, the word content is a resting or satisfaction of mind without disquiet, okay? In other words, it is going through life in peace. You're satisfied in your life. If someone was to come to you and say tonight that I have no need in the world, all my needs are taken care of, that doesn't necessarily mean, guys, that they're in a state of satisfaction or contentment. It doesn't, right? We were talking about food like a good Baptist always does. We were talking about food before service tonight. I was telling you about this steak sandwich. Maybe I'll tell the whole world about the steak sandwich I had last Friday because it was that good, right? Now, guys, here's the deal. We don't have to have food that tastes good to be nutritious, amen? There's some people's cooking is very nutritious and very, it's good for the body, but it's not good for the taste buds, all right? So you can have all of your needs met, all of your needs taken care of, but you still may not be in a state of satisfaction, a state of contentment. They're different. They are different one of the other. The world today will run itself into utter debt beyond belief because it seeks to be satisfied. And it calls for contentment only in the wrong places. So now the other side of the coin is this. Again, we come back to the statement. What are we looking at tonight? I shall not want. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. This is a different story. It's a different story than need. And when a person can truly say in their heart and their life, I shall not want, that's when you're going to find a person who is purely content, fully satisfied. But the only way a soul can even say, I shall not want, and mean it, is to have the good, we talked about this last week, to have the good, the great, and the greatest shepherd in their life and their heart. If you look at the world today, those who have not that good, great, and greatest shepherd in their life, those who have not the Lord Jesus Christ in their life, guys, you know what ends up happening? You find them having a very unsatisfactory life. You find them having a very discontented life, a life that is not full of peace. Guys, that doesn't mean that when you get the Lord in your life that all of your problems are going to cease. As a matter of fact, they're probably going to either increase or seem like they're going to increase. Why? Because now the things that used to be shielded and covered that were problems and were wrong are now unveiled as to being exceedingly sinful and this and that in our life. There's a cliche, guys, a cliche that I want you to remember, that familiarity fuels friction, okay? And what does that mean? Well, here's what it means, guys. If you become a buddy, a pal, a jokester to your children, okay, you're going to lose parental authority, okay? You say, what does this have to do with being satisfied and content? Stick with me here, you'll find out. If you become that buddy, that pal, that jokester, that if that's what you're going to be, you lose the parental authority to your children. You lose the respect that is needed to raise a child up in the right way. It doesn't mean they're going to turn out perfect, but it is a better chance that they'll come back around, you understand? And it's the same thing with a pastor, you understand? And guys, I enjoy being close to people. I enjoy being dear friends with everyone. But if friends, fellowship, and friendship turns into foolishness, that familiarity will fuel friction in your lives. And it'll remove me from my ability to pastor a flock or a fold. Do you understand? It's all good to be buddies and pals. There's a time and there's a place for it. But if a pastor doesn't have the opportunity or the ability to shepherd the flock, he loses the ability to lead them. If you're someone who is unpastorable, okay, well, you have more problems than you really can understand here this evening if you want to know the truth. You know, the relationship between a pastor, which is the under-shepherd of a church, should never be shrouded by foolishness because, again, it robs the pastor from filling his position. Parental relationships should never be shrouded by foolishness and jesting and joking and being a buddy because it removes the ability for the parental authority to lead and guide their children in their homes the way they should. Now we get back to the great and good and greatest shepherd. If he's the man upstairs, if he's the big fella, if he's JC like you hear so many people say, and you treat him like that, then you're never going to enter in that state of satisfaction, that state of contentment, because you've robbed him of becoming the good and great and greatest shepherd that he needs to be in your life. He's not going to be able to lead you. Same principle applies here, guys. I mean, since we were children, since we were young kids, we've quoted it in Sunday school, and we've heard this verse right here on wholesome television shows back when they were actually available, you know. But when we become adults, guys, we fussed, we fumed, we forced our way through life's difficulties, acting as if the same Lord, the Creator and Savior of all things, we act like he's on a coffee break. And yet David's sitting back going, hang on, The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. It's not just a Sunday school verse. It's not just something that looks good on your tea towels at home. It's not just something that you can say or want or desire and seek when things are problematic or when everything is great and wonderful. We say, well, you know, the Lord's my shepherd, I shall not want. But then when problems come into our life, we act as if God's checked out. Why? Because we've treated him like a buddy rather than the shepherd that he is. And the secret to success today is holding to this verse, the very verse that you learned as a child, but applying it in real life. We are frantic in our world today. Man, we are running around like chickens with their heads cut off in our world today because of all the idiotic things that is going on. And I'll be the first one to tell you that I get tired of watching the news and hearing the things that people are arguing about. And what they're fighting over. They don't know what toilet to go to. And this person's angry over here because they didn't refer to he or she as a they. It's just stupidity. It's perversion at its greatest level. And yet at the same day, we're all bent out of shape about it. You know why we're bent out of shape about it? We're not bent out of shape about it because the world's going to hell in a handbasket. We're not bent out of shape about it because the world is just following suit of what Paul said, that evil men shall act worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived, amen. That's not why we're bent out of shape. We're bent out of shape because we think the shepherd's taking a coffee break, amen. And we've forgotten what David has said, I shall not want, amen. That's why we're bent out of shape. It's our lack of faith. That's what it is. It ain't God. It's not the world. It's not, what do you think a sinner's going to do? Why do you think that politics are an upheaval of pure wickedness and perversion today? Because they're lost, my friend. They're lost. They are condemned to hell. They need the Lord Jesus Christ and the light of the gospel. And if they don't have that, they don't know to do right. Amen. And yet we're standing over here with our panties in a wad. Are you kidding me? The scripture said that's what's going to happen. Suck it up and move forward, amen, and understand that the same good and great shepherd, the same one who spoke everything into existence, is also saying, I shall not want. That's who our shepherd is tonight. Do you understand that this evening? I'm not saying I'm without fault. I'm not saying that I don't get irritated when I see the idiotic things that go on, but I'm preaching to myself as much as I'm preaching to you this evening. I'm trying to tell you that the world is not going to get better, but the same God, amen, that's on the throne right now is the same God that was on the throne when David said, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, amen? And we need to understand that here this evening, but the biggest thing that we need to understand is not, yeah, we learned it as a child. It sounded great on a Little House on the Prairie. That was all wonderful. But we need to apply it in real life. Guys, if you can't take the scriptures and apply them into your real life every single day, then what are you doing? The world are you doing in life if you can't take what you read here and apply it to everyday use? Tell me how you're functioning. I'll tell you how you're functioning. You're functioning on half-working cylinders. You're functioning on a strand, on a shoestring mentality and a shoestring faith. That's how you're functioning, and you ain't functioning well. The same God that was a self-existent eternal one, the same God of Israel, the same God, the creator of all things, who spoke everything into existence, is the one that gives David the contentment and the satisfaction to say, I shall not want. Do you understand here this evening? So we got to accept it, beloved. I'm sorry, apply it into real life. We apply it into real life, and listen carefully, by accepting relative love. Relative love. We are relative by who David is speaking about. He is speaking about a good and great and greatest shepherd we talked about last week. Speaking about that Lord. That's why it is relative to us tonight that I shall not want. Beloved, there is a great meaning behind the fact of I shall not want. We're going to see it tonight. Not a very long message tonight. I went longer already. I thought it was going to. It's not very long. But I promise you, if you will get a hold of this evening, of who David's actually talking about, oh, man, it's going to help you this evening. So let's review real quick. David knew Jehovah, which is the accepted substitute of the sacred name Yahweh, the God, the creator of all, the one who chose and made the covenant with Abraham, the great I Am that spoke to Moses out of the burning bush, and from the burning bush, part of the Red Sea. David knew him as the Lord, okay? He said, he is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. It was personal. It was providing, protective, purposed, and prophesied shepherd that delivered David from the fury of King Saul, as well as rendering him victorious before the Philistine giant Goliath. And now David is able to stand back and say, I shall not want. Why? Because of who and what the shepherd is. It takes us full circle to the beginning of the verse. The Lord. Very simple. So again, I want to make the pretty bow at the top of the present tonight so beautiful as we tie, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I want it to look beautiful for you. So what is in a name? Why is the Creator, the self-existent, eternal one, who is my shepherd, who enables me tonight to say, I shall not want? What is in that name? Guys, as if we've seen the Lord is not enough. What is in the name? What is the important aspects of it? Well, the number seven has always been God's number of perfection and completion, yeah? And there's something about perfection, completion, maturity that God used. I'll give you a handful of verses, and then we're going to get into seven words tonight that should give you the comfort and be able to say, I shall not want. Job 1:1 says, there was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was perfect and upright and one that feared God and eschewed evil. Does that mean Job himself was without sin? No. It means that he was mature, okay? Romans 12:2, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. There is a perfect, completed will of God. Philippians 3:15, let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded, guys. If you study Philippians chapter 3 out, and you find out what type of mind you should have, he's referring to the mind of Christ, a mature Christ. A mature Christian can live the life that Paul speaks about in Philippians chapter 3, a mature Christian. And you know who can't? Immature Christians, baby Christians. I don't care how old you are, don't care how long you've been saved. Baby Christians. If you act like a baby, you're still a baby. Get off the stinking milk and get on some meat and understand that it's high time, amen, that you start living a mature, perfect Christian life, amen. 2 Timothy 3:17, that the man of God may be perfect, throughly furnished. And yes, throughly and thoroughly are two different words, okay? Throughly furnished unto all good works. He doesn't say that you are to be sinless or can be sinless, but you can be mature. You can be complete in your scriptures. And there's something that we understand here tonight, how this applies to us, how we can say, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Why? Because we have a perfect and a sinless God, but he is complete in all things. Since he's complete, listen to this, I can be content. Do you understand? Since he is complete in everything there is for provision, protection, prophecy, all of it, since he's complete and perfect in that, I can be content in my life. Why? Because the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Amen? So point number one, we say, what's in a name? Well, what's in seven names tonight? Point number one, we look at the Jehovah Reha. Jehovah Reha. Psalm 23, verse 1, that's where you have the word right here, the Lord is my shepherd. Read it, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And if you understand, that word is translated there not only Jehovah, but it's translated out of Jehovah Reha. Turn over to Genesis chapter 22, number 2. The second thing we're going to look at is Jehovah Jireh. Most people know this. Most people know who Jehovah Jireh is, but why can David say, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want? Number one, he is my shepherd, okay? So number one, Jehovah Reha, the Lord is my shepherd. Number two, Jehovah Jireh, Genesis chapter 22, verse 14. Genesis chapter 22, verse 14 says, and Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. What does Jehovah Jireh mean? It means the Lord is my provider. Is my provider, amen? So he is not only my shepherd, he is my provider. Thirdly, we see Jehovah Shalom. Look in Judges chapter 6. Jehovah Shalom tonight. Judges in chapter 6. You'll get you some turning tonight, some sword drills. Judges chapter 6, verse 24. Bible says, then Gideon built an altar there unto the Lord and called it Jehovah Shalom. Unto this day it is yet Ophrah of the Abazinites. Okay, so Jehovah Shalom, what does that mean? You know what the Lord is? The Lord is our peace. Shalom, peace. So he is our provider. He's our shepherd. He's our peace, right? I'm going to get you to turn over to Jeremiah chapter 23 now. How can David say, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want? Well, we're going to see Jeremiah chapter 23, the good old weeping prophet here. All right, Jeremiah chapter 23. Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 6, we find here in the days of Judah, it says the days of Judah shall be saved and Israel shall dwell safely. And this is the name whereby he shall be called, watch this, the Lord our righteousness. What is that? That's Jehovah Tiskenu. Jehovah Tiskenu, T-S-I-D-K-E-N-U. That's Jeremiah 23, 6. What is his name? Jehovah Tiskenu. That's Hebrew. And translating to the Lord is our righteousness. So what do we find so far? We're coming back and we're understanding, how can David say, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want? He's saying, I shall not want, because the Lord is his shepherd, the Lord is his provider, the Lord is his peace, and now we find he is our righteousness. He is our righteousness, okay? Let's go back to the book of Exodus. Go all the way back to the front now. Go back to Exodus, if you will. All right, so Exodus 15 is where we're going to be. Jehovah Rapha we're going to see. Jehovah Rapha, what does this mean? Jehovah Rapha, Exodus chapter 15, verse 26. Let's look at this. Watch what he does here. Verse 26 says, and said, if thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and will do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians. Watch this, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. So Jehovah Rapha, R-A-P-H-A-A, the Lord is my healer. So look, stay with me on this. So David just says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. How can he say I shall not want? Number one, he's his shepherd. Number two, he's his provider. Number three, he's his peace. Number four, he's his righteousness. Now, number five, he is the healer. He is the healer now. All right, we got two more left. Completion, perfect number. Go to back to Ezekiel. Go back to Ezekiel. And you're probably saying, well, why didn't we just stay in Ezekiel? Well, because I don't know. But that's why. Just the way it worked out. Ezekiel. Ezekiel 48. Ezekiel 48, verse 35. Jehovah Shema. Whoever gets there first, you can read it. Ezekiel 48. The Lord is there. You know what that means? The Lord is ever what? Present. Ever present. Ezekiel, the Lord is there. What's his name? The Lord is there. What shall it be called? The Lord is there. So now let's go back to the original text. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. So number one, he's the shepherd. All right. Number two, he's the provider. Number three, he's the peace. Number four, the Lord our righteousness. Number five, the Lord is my healer. Number six, the Lord is ever present. He is omniscient. He is omnipresent. He's omnipotent. He's all powerful. He is everywhere at all times. And he's all knowing, amen? So number seven tonight, and we're going back to Exodus. So we're getting our sword drills out this evening. If you get to Exodus 17 this evening, I'll let you go ahead and read it. Sorry, I beat you. I'm already there. Exodus 17, verse 15. It says, and Moses built an altar and called the name of it Jehovah Nissi. Jehovah Nissi, N-I-S-S-I. What does that mean? The Lord is our banner. You know, we like that song, Wave the Banner High. One of my favorite gospel hymns is that song, Sing It About That Banner. Amen? So guys, this is what is beautiful this evening. When you begin to see this tied together, and you're really going to see the bow become the prettiest bow you've ever seen in just a moment when we go back to our original text in just this evening. There we signed. And all of those seven names, God's perfect number, God's number of completion, God's number of maturity, we find out just how David can say, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Why? Because he's my shepherd, my provider, my peace, my righteous, my healer. He is ever present with me, and he is my banner. Amen? He shows this complete and perfect number that the Lord saw, that David knew him as a personal shepherd, yet he possesses all seven of these perfect things. And that's how David knew the Lord was his shepherd, and then he shall not want. That's how David could surmise and conclude that he shall not want. Now, here's what's going to be in your mind. How old is the book of Psalms? When was David writing this? We know that the Holy Spirit of God laid this on his heart, didn't he? So we're looking at verse 1 this evening, and you're saying, well, hang on a second. Ezekiel preached a whole lot. That was a long time after David was king. And you got those names in there, preacher. I understand maybe Exodus, and I get all that. And, you know, David knew all those things, but wait a second. Ezekiel was afterwards. Now, don't get too far ahead of yourself. Like my mom used to say, don't let your heels fly up, all right? So you ready for the icing on the cake tonight, and then we'll be done? Are you ready for the bow to really be primped and proper and just sit out there and give you the comfort this evening, the contentment that you're looking for, to give you what you need in your life tonight to be fully satisfied so that you can say, I shall not want? Well, go back to Psalm 23 with me. I'm going to have it on the screen, and I want to show you this. Psalm 23, verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd. We've already looked at that. That's Jehovah Raha, the shepherd, okay? But the next of the verse says, I shall not want. That's the Jehovah Jireh, he's the provider. So if I shall not want, guess what? He's providing, amen? There's that contentment, that satisfaction. Do you understand? Okay? Then we get into verse 2. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. What is that still waters? That's that Jehovah Shalom, our peace. You know, there's something I can promise you here this evening. God is not leading you through chaotic times. You say, hang on, preacher. I've been in some dark times and dark days in my life. I bet you have, and I have too. But you know who put me there? Me. And so, oh, the Lord won't put more on you than you're able to bear. That's true, but you will. When you get your priorities out of whack, you make stupid decisions. I mean, guys, some of the things that happen in our life, we say, well, there's a reason for everything. Some of those reasons, because you're stupid. You did something wrong, and you're paying the price for it, okay? We got to be honest. I'm not a Calvinist. You're not a Calvinist. I'm not going to sit here and say, oh, I made a bad choice. Well, it was just ordained from the foundation of the world for me to do that. No. You made a bad choice because you chose to do it. Now you're reaping the consequences because of that. Amen? Now, here's what I'm trying to tell you. When God gets a hold of you, when you're in God's hand, and you're sitting there saying, the Lord's my shepherd, I shall not want, he's not leading you through aisles of confusion. He's not leading you through the stormy waters. The storms may happen, and they will happen, and he'll guide you through them, but he ain't leading you to them. Do you understand? He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. Jehovah Shalom, he is our peace. Verse 3, he restoreth my soul. Jehovah Rapha, he's my healer. He's my healer. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness. That's that Jehovah Tiskenu. Our righteousness. Why does he do that? For his name's sake. Verse 4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Because of Jehovah Shammah. He's ever present. He's ever present. You ever get afraid of the dark? You know one thing? I tell a story right here. On our property in the States, we had bought the property next door. We had a house. We called it the Mission House. We bought it so we could provide homes or housing for evangelists and missionaries and things like that. And Denise was over cleaning it one night, and Bailey was just a little bitty thing. Boys were downstairs playing. They were doing their own thing. I said, Bailey, let's go scare Mama. Okay. And so here's Bailey. She was just, she's probably 3 years old at the time, maybe four. That'd be pushing it. It's in dark, bleak night. All right, in like October in Tennessee. And man, we're running around outside in this pitch blackness. There's coyotes out there in those fields. There's all kinds of stuff out there. And we come around and we got around the one side of the house, and I said, shh, Bailey. And I'd scratch the screen on the window. I'd scratch it. And Nisi ran over there, and she's looking out the window. I'm standing right here. Here's the window. Bailey's right there. I'm going, shh. And Bailey's just, she has just stood there. Nice. And then we did a few other things. We eventually threw some rocks up on the metal roof. Next thing you know, I heard a car door shut. Boom! Nisi got back up to the big house. Amen. And I thought, well, we're busted now. And I thought, well, we can do one more thing. I said, so we snuck inside the house, and we hid in the bathroom. And we're stood there. And I said, be real quiet. And Bailey was quiet. She was sat there. Nisi comes in. You can hear her going, BJ. You can hear little footsteps going here, going there, trying to find where we were. I said, and she was quiet as a mouse. And we jumped out, said, ah! And Nisi came out of her skin. It was hilarious. We had a field day. But you know one thing I remember about that? Even in the pitch black dark, Bailey wasn't afraid one time. Not one time. Now, when the boys, when they leave a light on in the shop, I'd make them walk out there in the dark, go turn it off, toughen them up. I said, ain't nothing out there to be afraid of. Not, people say, I'm afraid of the dark. You're not afraid of the dark. You're afraid of what you can't see in the dark. That's what you're afraid of, right? Not one time was she afraid. Do you know why she wasn't afraid to be out there? Because she was with me. She was with her dad. And, beloved, we need to understand that, yea, we'll walk through the valley of the shadow of death. I will fear no evil. Why? Because he's ever present, my friend. He is always there with us. He is always there. He is not only my provider, my shepherd. He's not only my peace, my healer, my righteousness, but he's ever present. And verse number 5, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies, Jehovah Nissi. He is our banner. Here's our banner. That's why you have verse 6, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Why? Because of these 7 titles, 7 names of who that our God is, who that shepherd is that David said, I shall not want. David is content because of the 7 characteristics of perfection that we find in who our God is, because he's not just our God. He is our shepherd, and he is personal. So when he says, I shall not want, now you know why. All of those titles and definitions and names that is found out of who God is throughout the Old Testament, that you find out who that self-existing eternal one is. He's the shepherd. He's the peacemaker. He's the provider. He's the healer. He's the righteous. He's the banner, but he is ever present. You find it really in the 5 verses of the 6 verses of Psalm 23. But you have Psalm 23 verse 6 because you got Psalm 23 1 through 5. That's why surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. That tonight is how you're going to find contentment. It's how David found satisfaction. And this evening, if we will just simply understand the Lord, all 7 of those, is my shepherd, I shall not want. Why? Because he is a God of perfection, a God of providence, a God of protection, a God of righteousness, a God of healing. He's a God that is our banner, and he is always with us. Will you bow your heads tonight? Father, we thank you, Lord, for the opportunity and time to be together this evening. We pray, Lord, that you take your word tonight and encourage our hearts, our souls, Father. Lord, let us continue to see in our hearts this evening that the Lord is our shepherd. I shall not want, because we see who and what that shepherd is, that he's above and beyond anything we could ever imagine. The greatness and goodness, Lord, of God tonight speaks to our hearts and our souls. In Jesus Christ's name, we pray. Amen. Thank you so much for joining us today. I do hope and pray the sermon you just heard was a tender blessing to your heart and to your soul. I hope that it gives you the encouragement, edification to face the challenges that we see each and every day and week throughout our life. I'd like to invite you out to one of our live services here at Seren Chapel in Aberaman. We are located on Lewis Street as well as Davis Street. Davis Street is the entrance to our chapel, and as well as Lewis Street is the entrance to our hall, and you can use either one of them. But secondly today, guys, I would like to share just a brief message to you now to ask you to where you are going in eternity. If today was the last day you were alive, if today, by some tragedy, this was the last moment you had on this earth, when you closed your eyes, would you wake up and see Jesus Christ? It is a simple question, guys, and it is even a more simple answer. The Bible tells us that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, paid the ultimate price for mankind. He gave us the free pass to eternal life by giving his life on the cross of Calvary, being buried into that grave, but rising again on the third day. It is simple as this. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 10 and verse 9 that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. You see, guys, while we were sinners, the Lord Jesus Christ loves us so much that he gave his life. As a matter of fact, Romans 5:8 tells us, but God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Sin is defined as the transgression of God's law. But what happened was the payment for mankind is death. Romans 6:23 clearly tells us, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. So I ask you today, what would stop you right here, right now, from bowing your head and saying a prayer much like this? Lord Jesus Christ, I trust in you. Jesus Christ, I believe that you died on the cross for my sins, and I believe that you stepped up out of the grave to give us victory over sin and victory over death. I invite you into my heart and ask forgiveness of my sins and ask you to lead, guide, and direct me throughout the rest of my life. Now, here's the thing. You say that prayer in your own words, but you have to say it and believe in it. Remember, Romans 10:9 says, and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. That is a promise from the Word of God. That is a promise from God himself. That is the promise from the Creator of all things, that if you'll believe on Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior today, ask forgiveness of your sins, accept his free gift and pardon of sin into your heart today, that you will be born again, that you will have eternal life in heaven. Guys, I hope and pray this is a blessing to you today. I hope and pray that you'd make that decision. And if you have, if you've made that decision today, let us rejoice with you. Come by and see us here at the church, or hit us up online at any of the social media outlets or through email or however you can. Just share with us the glorious transformation that you just received in your life. Guys, I hope to see you soon in the house of God. Hope to see you soon right here in Sharon Chapel. And may the Lord be with each and every one of you. God bless.